KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That is right. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to a brand new New Year's show of Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are here to rock you in this new year.
Rock you like a hurricane of geekdom.
Okay. Yeah. We can live with that. I think we can accomplish that.
Totally.
If you're familiar with the show, you already know what it's all about. But if you're not, Jason and Caleb, explain to the masses what the show is. See, normally I do, but I'm going to turn it over to you guys.
Ooh.
Oh.
See what you can do.
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on.
I don't really know what we do
here. I don't know what we do is we chat about things of geek culture, geek nature. So you'll hear a lot about comic book movies, video games,
tech,
all fine sorts of fun stuff. 3D printing will probably come up at least once every month.
Maybe twice.
Perhaps even twice. Space will be mentioned a lot. And just, you know, the internet and...
And anytime we can combine one or more of those topics, it's
awesomeness ensues
for us.
Yes.
Exactly. So definitely stick it here. You're going to have a good time. And Caleb, what else do we like the audience to do?
Well, we love it when you participate with us.
Ooh, let me get my phone out and call.
Nope, don't call us.
What?
The best way to get a hold of us is through the internets. Big surprise for a geeky show. Oh, but you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or you can find us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/robotsattackme. And if you like email, that's robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And those are the three best ways to get hold of us during the show. They are open and active in the background of the laptop. So that's right.
We give you a shout out. Mm-hmm. Participate on the show. It's fun. You are like the fourth person.
That's right.
And if someone else participated and you're like, oh no, that fourth person was taken, well then you could be the fifth person. Like it's endless.
It's the fourth chair that rotates. People can sit down, they say the thing, and they move on, you know, and then you can trade musical chair.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, it's
a non-confrontational duck-duck-goose.
Ah, there you go.
Okay, all right.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Speaking of things you may or may not like, what we like to do at the beginning of the show is mention some new releases.
We kind of
select just a handful of things, so there's definitely more things out there, but that would take the entirety of our show, and we don't want to do that because that's not...
That's not what the show's about.
We just like to give you a little taste. Speaking of a taste, I've got some movies coming out in the theater. Now, I know you think in January, woo, that's a huge munch for the huge munch.
Yes.
It's a huge munch for the munching of popcorn at the movie theaters.
Ah, yes.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Exactly like that.
Almost got us kicked off. Anyway, first off, probably the biggest release of the week and probably, you know, kept all the other movies out.
Mm-hmm.
Taken 3. Liam Neeson returns as ex-covert operative Brian Mills, whose reconciliation with his ex-wife is tragically cut short when she is brutally murdered. Consumed with rage and framed for the crime, he goes on the run to evade the relentless pursuit of the CIA, FBI, and the police. For one last time, Mills must use his, quote, particular set of skills to track down the real killers, exact his unique brand of revenge, and protect the only thing that matters to him now, his daughter. If you're not interested in taking things or seeing things taken from Liam Neeson, there's Black November. A volatile, oil-rich Nigerian community wages war against their corrupt government and a multinational oil corporation to protect their land from being destroyed by excessive drilling and spills. To seek justice, a rebel organization kidnaps an American oil executive and demands that his corporation and the destruction and pollution. I'm sure it ends in a happy ending.
Yeah, right. Only good can come of this, right?
Yeah. And last, but certainly not least, Predestination. A temporal agent, played by Ethan Hawke, is sent on an intricate series of time travel journeys designed to prevent future killers from committing their crimes. Now, on his final assignment, the agent must stop the one criminal that has eluded him throughout time and prevent a devastating attack in which thousands of lives will be lost.
Is it really him from the future?
Oh, man, you might have just, like, spoiled that movie. I don't know.
Uh-oh. That's crazy. Crazy talk, man. That's not how these time travel movies don't work like that.
It's like, why is he always one step ahead of me?
It's like Ethan Hawke.
I can't figure it out.
It's Ethan Hawke from, like, I think Reality Bites or, like, Before Sunrise. This other, like, Ethan Hawke movies.
Right.
He's, mm-hmm. like, yeah. one of those pops in.
Just yeah. keeps swapping out.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazy.
Crazy? How about crazy cool things you can get for your DVD or Blu-ray player?
Whoa.
Perhaps you want... Get on up! On Blu-ray and DVD, a compelling look into the story behind the image of the hottest wicked man in rock and roll. This film takes the audience from James Brown's humble beginnings, humble roots. Yeah, seriously. Into one of the most influential figures of the 20th century. Or perhaps show him something a little more personal. Perhaps Boyhood. On Blu-ray and DVD. This film is unique because it was filmed in short segments over 10 years.
Oh, this one. Okay.
Yeah, and it's people are pretty...
That's a lot of effort right there.
It is a lot of effort. And depending on who you talk to, it paid off. But at the very least, it's an interesting experiment in film, which is worth looking into. Simply think it's a pretty honest look at the way things are. Kind of cool. If you want to leave reality completely behind or just experience what the future... might be like, consider Left Behind on Blu-ray and DVD, based on a best-selling series of novels about the possible aftermath of the rapture. What would the world be like if a sudden and massive segment of the population simply vanished? Or if you're feeling a little more spiritual after that, and you want to continue down strange, unusual pathways, perhaps you want Horns on Blu-ray and DVD. After being blamed for the murder of his girlfriend, the stunned boyfriend finds he has grown horns and he's gained the ability to force others to tell the truth. Now he's out to find the truth about his girlfriend's murder.
Is that the Radcliffe one? Or
yes.
No? Okay.
Yes, it is. And this one gets in just on title alone, Zombie Ninjas.
What?
On DVD only.
I don't know how that works. Explain it to me.
On his birthday, a slacker receives a key that unlocks a mysterious sword that must be returned to its home, or the world will be overrun with zombie ninjas. Fastest zombie since 28 days later, perhaps.
Okay. I have no idea. Zombies. I think I'd probably go with undead ninjas. Instead of zombie ninjas.
But that's a lot longer to say than zombie ninjas.
Zombie ninjas.
Dead ninjas, maybe.
Undead ninjas. You know, by the time you've gotten the undead out, there's something in you. So you're already dead.
Yeah, that's
true. Re-dead ninjas.
Right. Undeadly ninjas. Wait, no.
Yeah.
Okay, meanwhile, if you want to have some fun in the video game realm of your life, PlayStation doesn't want to help you out at all this week.
What?
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing from PlayStation at all this week. I don't know if it has anything to do with problems or whatnot, but yeah, nothing for PS4, nothing for PS3, nothing for Vita. I'm sorry, everybody out there who loves their PlayStation, but... nothing for you.
That's rough.
Meanwhile, Xbox has a glorious one thing, namely Funk of Titans, by developer A Crowd of Monsters. It'll come out on the 9th, and it's basically a musical version of fighting it out with Zeus and the various other Residents of Olympus is what it sounds like.
Oh, so it's not like Attack on Titan.
No, it seems to be... it's difficult to say because I haven't found any actual video for it, but it is apparently set to pop, rap, and rock and roll. and it, if nothing else, it's got points for creativity. So
true that. True
yeah.
That.
Meanwhile, PC is always going to be spawning things. So the first thing that it spawned is fire.
I think that was spawned a few years ago.
Well, okay. This time around, they're trying to redo it just a little bit. It's an update on the Fire of the past.
Okay. Fire 2.0.
From Eurovideo Median coming out on the 6th, and apparently Daedalic Entertainment as well. It's basically a caveman that has mistakenly lost fire for his tribe. So the game is him trying to reclaim fire.
Dang it, ugh. Get the fire back.
Translation.
Exactly. Just like that.
It's all subtitled. It's a foreign film.
Also on PC, Warhammer Quest comes out. Apparently it was previously available on iPhone and iPad, but the outing from Chilled Mouse is finally coming to PCs as well. Based on the classic tabletop game, oddly enough, it blends a little bit of role-playing and strategy.
Why?
I know. Crazy. The final thing that I'm going to touch on tonight is Chariot. I'm sure. Right. People are probably already familiar with this from other systems, but it's coming to the Wii U from Frema Studios, coming out on the 8th. If you're not familiar with it, it's a funny physics-based couch co-op platformer in which a brave princess and her suitor carry a funeral wagon through ancient caves, fending off swarms of looters while amassing riches to buy the king's remains in a worthy gold-filled tomb.
Well, there you are, then.
Yeah. I'd bury, not buy the king's.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's about the same thing.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Burying and buying.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, to clarify, I think, like, both Xbox and PlayStation, like, you know, their games with gold and their PlayStation Plus, like, I think they get games from there, but as far as meaning, like, anything new.
Right, yeah, just, exactly.
Just so, it's, you know, someone out there in the shadow, like, what are you talking about? Right. I got this, this, and this, man.
Right.
Like, well, that's, yeah, of course.
Because I'm plussing it.
Yeah, you got that, but different.
Yeah. Before you get to the comics. Well,
yes, yes.
We've got our first PSA of the night.
Yes,
the new year.
A new one as well.
Ooh.
Wonderfully printed, so I cannot read it. But I'm going to try.
You can do it. I believe
Days
in
of
you.
Our Lives, the first solo exhibition of work by San Francisco native Daniel Green, opens January 15th, 2015. Oddly enough, Green joined the studio on a full-time basis in 2008 and is one of the youngest artists working at Creativity Explored. Featured will be a Green signature work that conveys the intense and playful fascination with America's entertainment and popular culture. Most of the works are drawing from ink, or are drawings with ink and wood, or on wood, in which Green's meticulously cataloged text often incorporate imagery as well. His pieces feature figures from television, politics, sports, history, and then carefully listed dates, titles and shows of song cities and names. The exhibition will be showing from January 15th through March 4th at the Creatively Explored Gallery, located at 3245 16th Street in San Francisco. The exhibition is free and open to the public. For more information, visit www.creativityexplored.org.
Nice.
All right.
Speaking of creative things.
Creative things. One of the classic creative things is comic books. And they're sort of one of the base level creative expressions of our modern age. And we're going to lead off with Detective Comics number 38 from DC. The streets of Gotham are controlled by anarchy. And that's a character, not a phrase or description. Can Batman restore order? And from Marvel, to tie in with their soon-to-be-released feature film that has a fair amount of time on the show, Ant-Man number one!
Yeah.
This one is actually featuring the Ant-Man that will be appearing in said film, who is Scott Lang. And he's basically been all but forgotten about as Ant-Man, And those who remember just don't seem to care, which is arguably worse. But Iron Man may have a way for him to regain his status as a hero. Hmm. From Dark Horse, Lady Killer number one. What happens when you mix equal parts Joan Cleaver and Elektra? You get Josie Shuler, perfect murder, and a perfectly cleaned up after. Perfectly cleaned up after. And
with
and
a nice key lime pie? Or
probably.
Okay.
Or maybe some delightfully mixed cocktails. From Image, it's Odyssey, that's O-D-Y hyphen C, number two. Odysseus and crew must fight off the temptation of the Lotus Eaters, the beings that produce the most potent narcotic known.
What?
And
sounds potent.
It is. And a standing friend of the show, Wow Cool, has some recommendations for you all to add to your pull lists. The Humans, number three from Image. You might also check out Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number one.
Nice.
Treasury of Mini Comics, volume two from Fantagraphics. And they also threw in a bonus pick, which is sort of a historical look at comic books. And it's a book called Swamp Men, Muck Monsters of Comics. So there you are then.
Yeah, I remember doing the story on the squirrel girl. So that should be interesting to see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. And going back to the Ant-Man mention, because hopefully, the movie's good. So
hopefully,
like
yes.
It ties with us because like I want like us to be like the flagship of all the Ant-Man news since we've like been talking about
That's
it
true.
So much. So when people
we
like,
are
see
the
it,
forefront.
They're like, Robot Stack, they talked about that. So there's going to be a trailer for Ant-Man with the Agent Carter premiere tomorrow.
Right.
Ooh. So there's already like a 17-second clip online.
Which was, they originally had like an ant-sized version of it.
Yeah.
Which
was pretty
fairly
clever.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And then they made it human-sized. So
very nice.
But yeah, so your Ant-Man news come to Robots Attack. Watch,
right.
It turns out.
We got it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just like we've mentioned before, like none of us are really attached to Ant-Man. It's just
not a bit.
Yeah,
not particularly. Just it's just kind of interesting. Like there's been a lot of just fun and fascinating things that have come out of this movie's release or soon to be released.
Nobody else is talking about it, so I'm making sure we are.
Right.
Like,
with the passion, the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think it's interesting.
No, hopefully. So moving on from comics to music, I can only find one release. So
only one?
That one release is an album called The Balcony from Catfish and the Bottlemen.
Nice.
It's the debut full-length release for the British indie rock band led by Van McCann, was produced by Jim Abbas.
I actually got a chance to listen to this on Pandora. They have a little station, Pandora Premieres, and so they they like release...
Did you like it?
It was pretty good. Yeah. I liked it quite a bit.
I was totally prepared for it.
It sucks.
But
no, it's actually, rather good. Yeah.
What would you, what kind of style would you?
It definitely falls into the category of indie rock. It's not like hardcore. It's not like more melodic
metal.
60s stuff. It's not metal, but it's definitely rock and roll. But it's kind
it's
of a
80s throwback.
Not quite.
A lot of synth thrown in.
Right.
No, it's
measure.
Not. It's not new wave.
Okay.
But it's
some dubstep. In the background, just to kind of give it
how
a
much
little...
stepping is happening.
Wow. No, there's it doesn't do that. It's just kind of good old, it's like solid rock and roll with some interesting, some of the backgrounding was a little bit, had some interesting complexity to it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Okay. What would you change if you could?
I heard it like twice when I was over lunch.
I would change that I'd hear more of it.
Yes.
There you go.
Is his answer.
All right.
I would totally do that.
And you too can listen to more of it out there if you go and find it somewhere.
Go and find it somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Find it legally, gosh darn it.
Yes.
There's plenty of good services.
Do everything legally. That's what we love you to do.
Yes. Breathe legally.
Exactly.
It's that important.
Be legal. Don't text while you're...
While you're driving,
while
buckle
you're driving,
up while you drive.
Even though I
or
know
using
you,
the restroom.
You want to comment and be a participant on the show. If you're driving, don't wait for later.
Yes.
Or pull over.
We'll be here
whatever.
For a while. If you're going to just wait, do it safely, please.
Exactly. All right. That's going to do it for the new releases. Yep. We are going to take a music break. But before that, let's tease the folks. The news.
The news. Well, I was just going to do straight up tease because I'm going to go with a star in trouble to the cosmos itself back down to Earth. That's going to be the triad of my story arcs.
Wow. Okay. Huh.
Can you follow that?
All I got is Scarlett Johansson in her next movie declared. So,
All right. Hey, that's a couple of stars. Different meanings. Mm-hmm. All right. You'll definitely want to stick around for that.
So.
Yeah. And you will be too. All right. Let's get to some music, and then we'll be back with more Robot Stack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
News.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. That's right, we are in the news. And just so you know, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or in the TuneIn Radio app or website. Pro tip,
if you want to find us faster, search for our call letters, KSCU. That will be unique to our station. 103.3 FM is not unique to our station. Well, at least not in the world. Like, there's lots of 103.3 FMs out there. There's only one KSCU.
Exactly.
But please, do 103.3 if you're interested in finding out about radio of the world. It could be really cool.
Musical music chairs.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Speaking of things that make sense.
Or are musical-based, at least. The star that's struggling right now that I was mentioning before is actually Bono from U2. He had a bicycle accident not so very long ago.
Oh, wow.
About 2 months ago. And the injuries may keep him from playing the guitar ever going forward. So it's like, oh, yeah. Which is very sad. But glad to hear he's okay. So he can still continue.
He can still
creating.
Sing, right?
Yes, he can still sing. He can still continue to create music, but he may not be able to continue to be the one of the lead guitarists for U2 anymore. But
he can still sing the guitar solos. How about that? He's very talented in the voice area.
It's so true. He is quite talented. Yeah, we'll. We'll find out. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah. Just in case he wasn't thinking about it. Meanwhile, in things that probably will happen, Scarlett Johansson has definitely been shown herself to be a really good action star in the various outings in the Marvel arena. So it's not really a big surprise that she's getting more and more movies being kind of tossed to her that are in that same genre. The one that's probably made me the most happy that we just found out about today, not that it was being made, but that she's being attached to it, is Ghost in the Shell, which is actually being made by Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks. Hopefully this turns out to be one of the most awesome things ever. just because I'm one of the biggest fans of the series ever. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what section of the series it ends up drawing from, if it's going to be the more classic puppet master plot or not. But mostly it's going to be interesting seeing an American for one playing the role. And then on top of that, somebody who isn't like completely tall, like normal Wonder Woman-esque goddess type. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think she can pull it off, because she's pulled off every single thing with any action that we've seen so far, and I know she has the acting chops for it. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how she pulls it off. So.
Hopefully the plot's really good, too, because that was always one of the outstanding parts of the shows, where they had a really cohesive storyline, at least the good ones.
Yeah.
Some of the movies were a little bit, but the shows were quite good.
Yeah.
I think, too, getting her attached to it probably helped.
Yeah.
At least getting it moving forward, because, I mean, we've heard about a Ghost in the Shell or something like kind of for a while, and finally getting someone attached at least doesn't guarantee, but at least it helps. Like, oh, okay. Well,
the big thing for me too is it being attached to DreamWorks, because apparently Steven Spielberg himself is a big fan of the series, which I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Mm.
And given that he's really done a lot of science fiction esque type things that kind of draw from that, I think AI has a fair amount of that to it, albeit not really the same in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I'm hoping this ends up much more special and unique.
Yeah, maybe it will kick James Cameron to get off his duff and finally make the rest of the Star and Avatar movies, and then get to Angel Alita, for crying out loud. Promised that for years now.
I don't know.
It's always just one more movie he wants to do first, and then he'll make that movie. It's like, oh, I want to do a series of movies off of that now.
Yeah, or, well, I'm waiting for the tech to be a little bit better. I'll wait a little bit more. Like,
right.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Eventually, he's just going to end up being like something out of Ghost in the Shell, where he's just wired into this giant husk of machinery where he can control movies with his mind.
Well, speaking of moving so you can control with your mind, there's been some release of never-before-seen concept art for Disney's Aladdin. Just think about it. The segue makes sense.
Yeah.
So, first off, get ready to feel old, because Disney's Aladdin is 22 years old.
Right. Unless you were born in the meantime, prepare to feel young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, when it came out 22 years ago, so.
That's been a while.
It's a little time.
That's a while, yeah. Even though we probably all know every single cell of the hand-drawn masterpiece, there can still be some things we didn't know about it, or, more accurately, about how it might have ended up.
Oh.
One of the official Disney blogs, Oh My Disney, recently gave us all a glimpse of what Aladdin might have been like with 12 pieces of never-before-seen concept art from the planning stages. Now, I know what you're thinking. Art, the radio, visual story, not really visual. I did this one specifically, though, to get you to go where, Caleb?
To facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme.
Exactly. And there you can see some of the images for yourself.
Right.
And
problem solved.
Exactly. And I did it for Caleb and possibly another listener out there who are both fans of art. All right. From the art, we can see that there might have been a whole sequence where Aladdin was a lot younger than the late teenager he is when we meet him in the movie. Princess Jasmine might have worn pink and been a lot less friendly looking than she became, and that Raja might have been even meaner.
Ooh.
Oh.
And perhaps most surprising of all, the magic lamp itself might almost have been a character.
Huh.
Because one of the images has the lamp like with a actual face, smiley face on it. So yeah, there's some interesting stuff. There's a picture of a dancing monkey. So if and nothing else, go and check that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is interesting to see, like, the first image that's posted kind of with the story, you see, like, the younger Aladdin, the younger character. So,
yeah,
wonder kind of what they might have had in mind, if it would have been, like, a chunk of the movie was him younger and then gets older, or, you know, like, the whole thing was him as, like, just a lot younger, period. But
yeah, it's funny. I hadn't even thought of the fact that Jasmine didn't wear pink in the original movie until you mentioned that.
Yeah, I didn't remember either, but that's the magic of the story.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
In a land far away
yeah.
where princesses don't wear pink.
Speaking of a whole new world.
Oh, don't you dare close your eyes, Jason.
Cosmic mysteries are about to await you. There is evidence that astronomers may have found a way to detect dark matter. Now, if you're questioning what is dark matter and why do I care, dark matter is the substance that...
Why does it matter?
Nah. waiting for that one. When physicists do the maths on the way the universe moves and spins, when they calculate how much they can, they calculate, you know, basically how much they can see and generate, you know, extrapolate mass and weight and all that stuff. And then when they do,
just because they're bored and such,
and they're fascinated by the universe and like when one should be. But when they did the math about how everything's move and how they interact, they noticed a gap in the maths. There is more mass in the universe than they can see. So they had to attribute it to something, and so they came up with a concept called...
Black holes.
Well, sort of. Oh, they came up with dark matter, which is a substance which has mass, but neither emits nor absorbs light.
Now, do you want to fall into that gap?
Probably not.
Okay.
But the
much
the,
like you wouldn't want to with a black hole.
No, you wouldn't want to go across that event horizon.
Okay.
The European Space Agency's XMM-Newton spacecraft and a few others have been measuring odd X-ray spikes coming from two different celestial objects in the Andromeda Galaxy and the Perseus Galaxy Cluster. And they've compared that against readings of our own Milky Way galaxy, and they found that this seems to be consistent. Mm. And they think that this is an indication of where to find dark matter, or what the signature of it might be on in the universe.
Mm.
So, one of the great mysteries of the universe, potentially found, maybe not solved, but potentially found, and that's just like so cool. And before I toss it off to Jason, I just want to say a quick happy birthday to Hayao Miyazaki. It's his birthday today.
Aw.
Born in 1941.
This is going out to you, Hayao. Since I know you liked draw and whatnot.
We had a whole like surprise thing planned, and now...
Wait, what? Did we?
Yeah.
I didn't get that message.
Well,
everybody else, go home.
Right.
I know you're hiding behind that chair. Go home. It already
no
knows.
No point in bringing out the band.
Yeah.
Oh. Jason, save us.
Speaking of bringing out the band.
No, I'm going to draw this out as much as possible.
Ah, yeah, Jack.
Since I have a story about drawing.
Hey, there you
go. Ooh, nice.
Basically, a pretty nifty invention came out a while back that was called the 3D three doodler. I don't know how to say it. Basically, it's supposed to be 3D doodler, but they took a D out of it, so it's three doodler.
Yeah,
doodler.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it. But it's
if it was diddler, that'd be very different.
Right. We'll not go there.
Thank you.
But the genius of it is that it's basically the working end of a 3D printer, except in the palm of your hand, or not the palm of your hand, in the index finger and thumb portion. Whoa. Holding it.
The power
as if
of the sun.
It were, well, no, not even that.
Oh, no.
Although I assume it must exert some sort of warmth in order to make... Anyway, so maybe a fraction of the power of the sun?
Okay.
Anyway, so it basically extrudes the normal 3D printer plastic filament in order to allow you to draw in air, so to speak.
What?
So basically you can end up creating things by drawing at the base of something and kind of working your way up just like a 3D printer would, but it allows you to do it by hand. And at a fraction of the price of an actual 3D printer.
Ooh.
So the major drawback of the original version was that it was quite large and unwieldy. But they've basically come up with something the size of a magic marker now. So it actually looks pretty nifty. And I'm wondering if it'll actually end up being a new regular sculpting tool for a lot of people. Because it is able to extrude whatever color of PLA or ABS plastic you get as the filament for it. And it basically works off of a little switch on top that while you hold it, it ends up extruding the plastic. And the new version, you can double click it and it just constantly ends up putting out a solid stream of it.
Ooh.
So it allows you to literally doodle in air by doing that.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rad. Personally.
Do you like to doodle?
I would like to doodle, but unfortunately, I don't have one of these
yet.
But yeah, we'll allow you to see how you can doodle as well on the Facebook page and Twitter.
Exactly. Speaking of things that are associated sort of around Facebook, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. My next story sort of involves animals.
Okay.
But they're not real animals. They're CGI animals.
Oh, okay. Those are my favorite type.
Even though I actually have a story that does involve an animal, but I'm going to roll with this one because I already said.
Okay.
So, if you're familiar with the movie called Earth to Echo, apparently the director is in early talks for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Okay. Yeah.
The sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 may have found itself a director. Dave Green, director of Earth to Echo, is in early talks to direct the sequel, according to The Wrap. Producers Michael Bay, Andrew Form, Brad Fuller, Scott Mednick, and Ghislaine Walker will all return to produce the sequel. Josh Applebaum and Andre Nimick will also return to pen and executive produce the film. At this time, it's unknown whether or not stars Megan Fox and Will Arnett will return as April O'Neil and Vernon Fennick. The film is expected to hit theaters June 3rd, 2016.
So, I hope it's just Vernon Fennick. That's what I want.
The whole movie?
Yeah.
He did have the best character in the movie, right?
All of the best lines.
Yes, they gave him so much good stuff.
To work with.
It was like, wow, man, I wish they'd stop showing the turtles and show more of this guy.
Because he is the amazing.
He's awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough about our love of Megan Fox.
So, bringing it back down to Earth and branching off of reptiles. The garden gnome can be kicked to the curb at last.
What?
I don't know if I approve of this.
Uh-oh.
You can now use a sculpted triceratops to guard your garden.
That sounds reasonably good. Does it have the little hat like a garden gnome?
No, but it is quite large.
Wow, that is big.
It's like 10 feet long.
I still
long.
Think it would benefit from a garden gnome hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 10 feet tall. I'm sure you could put a hat on it.
It looks longer than that, yeah.
It's 10 feet tall and 20 feet long. There we go. And it's around 800 pounds, and it's made out of fiberglass and all that good stuff. So it's designed to weather the elements, but how cool would that be to put a giant triceratops in your yard? I think that'd be wicked cool.
I don't think I'm going to find that on sale like at Kmart.
Probably not.
Like at the end of spring sale or anything like that.
No, I'm betting it's going to be a per request kind of item, because they also, it sounds like, at least at this point, they are being hand painted. And they are not inexpensive. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Get out of that one.
Might be handy around Halloween.
Christmas? Meanwhile, in a video game that has been known to have dinosaurs frequent its pixels.
Uh-huh.
The Tekken series recently ended up announcing showing their final modeling for one of their new characters for Tekken 7. He's a Saudi Arabian character named Shaheen. Mostly the story is interesting to me because Harada, the creator of the series, he ended up posting something a long time ago just trying to feel people out and get people's ideas on how they like the original character designs. And I thought they looked pretty neat, but mm-hmm. they did have some little alterations in especially the classical Saudi headdress.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it looked really cool, but apparently it was insulting to Saudi culture because it was an alteration of it. And so the new character design is without that, but they ended up adding some of the same elements to kind of a small cape that he has instead. So the cape has kind of narrow feathered portions to it instead.
Uh-huh.
So if you can imagine what the original like Saudi headdress would be with those sort of narrowed feather sections, I thought it looked really cool, but you unfortunately can't make everybody happy.
No.
Mostly me.
and it's tough when you're doing trying to represent any sort of ethnicity where there's
right
division amongst how the different groups differentiate themselves by how they do like their headdress or their knotting or what have you. So
yeah, as far as I can tell, the band around the top and the coloring was all pretty much normal stuff, but it was like the fringe of the headdress that was changed in the original design. But still, it looks like a neat design, and it'll be interesting to mm-hmm. see how the fighting style ends up being implemented, just because that series generally has really interesting twists on how each of the characters fight.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my own opinion. But accompanying that also was news that the character Lucky Chloe is in fact going to be coming to the United States. If you weren't familiar with that story, there was a little bit of hoopla in the American Reddit community when initial drawings CG art for the Lucky Chloe character mm-hmm. was leaked. Basically, it's a kind of classic Japanese singer idol character, like mm-hmm. super cute type of character, and actually has like a cat costume as a big chunk of the way that she looks and mm-hmm. so on. So mm-hmm. basically, incredibly saccharine character.
Right.
And people weren't happy because it apparently didn't fit their view of what a fighting game should be. So
have they played Tekken? It's
right.
not known for taking itself very seriously.
Right, yeah. That's a lot of people reacted that way as well. But apparently the people who did react badly in the Reddit community, they attracted the attention of Harada himself, creator of the series, and he ended up posting a series of tweets saying that he was going to make sure and cater to the American taste of having the characters be more along the lines of Chuck Norris characters with guns. And that we wouldn't have to worry that the Lucky Chloe character wouldn't be in our future. But apparently that has been proven to be altogether a joke, even though portions of the tweet sounded very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm happy about it just because more characters in that game make me more happy, and I'm generally a fan of all of the female characters in them anyway. So
cool.
More to look forward to in Tekken 7.
Has there been a release window or date for that game, or
I don't know if they've established anything on that yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, it looks like it's scheduled to hit Japanese arcades in February of this year, but we never know how that's going to translate to America.
Yeah.
In the past, it's been as early as a month later that it ends up in American arcades, but who knows?
Hmm.
Well, my next story also involves video games, not Tekken, but actual console. The Xbox One frees up extra computing power for developers. Microsoft has opened up the amount of computing power developers can access in the Xbox One, according to analysis of the console's software development kit by Eurogamer's Digital Foundry. The SDK was made public earlier this week by hackers, claiming they did so in the name of, quote, creativity and research. Digital Foundry peeked inside and notes that Microsoft has recently opened access to an additional processing core of 8 total. Mm-hmm. Digital Foundry noted that originally the Xbox One reserved 2 full cores for running its background operating system, as does the PlayStation 4. In the latest SDK, developers may access 50 to 80% of a 7th core. This, quote, may partially explain why a small amount of multi-platform titles released during Q4 of 2014 may have possessed performance advantages over their PS4 counterparts in certain scenarios. The extra power comes at a cost. Games can't use custom voice commands, and some functions of the Kinect 2.0 sensor are disabled. Accessing the 7th core also is risky because system-related voice commands can take up half of its capability, overriding whatever else has been assigned there. Digital Foundry has given a very detailed examination of the SDK and the changes and what they mean and have meant for Xbox One games of late. As for whether the SDK's leaks could affect the system security, quote, the truth is that Xbox One is just as secure now as it was before the leak, Digital Foundry writes. Yeah, I know there was also a story about the Dying Light developers mentioning that because of they got a that upgrade bump in their development kits, mm-hmm. like it helped with dynamic lighting or stuff like that. So
nice.
We'll see how opening this up affects things. Or
yeah, it's funny opening all the different cores. It ends up reminding me of kind of the classic. Like Asian opening the gates of the different chakras. Yeah. It's like, oh, we finally opened that 7th gate. Gonna go Super Saiyan now.
That would be a good little comic strip.
Right.
now you can become the Avatar Xbox One.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now you gain the power of light.
That's pretty good.
So does anyone else have anything?
Nah, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Caleb, are you good or do you have anything else?
I do not have anything else for the moment.
All right, then that's going to do it for the news portion of Robots Attack. We're going to take another music break and then come back with some geek talk. Because, you know, we come back from the holidays. I'm sure we've done some stuff. So right. We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the core where we'll be discussing some topics depending on the time we have. We've got a few couple topics floating around, so... We'll start off with Jason.
With
you presented
Hackergate,
this one with Hackergate,
kind of.
Hackergate,
no.
Of, so.
I had to figure out a way to add gate to it since we didn't just talk about 7 gates and anyway.
Makes
no,
sense.
It, basically the amazing hacker holiday that we had in the last month or so.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in the core, but. Again, after the music, we'll hit some geek talk, and we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this. Oh, you want to remind the folks how they can participate on the show?
Not right. Really.
Yes, if you would like to...
Well, you don't have to, but Caleb can.
If you would like to participate, you can find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/robotsattackshow. You can check out the links to our stories there. You can also read up on the... like our past episodes or like our make comments, all that good stuff. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsattackme is our handle, and you can send us messages through there as well. It'll be awesome. Or robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Yes,
that's right. All right, let's get to that music. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter @RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in Geek Talk. Gentlemen, I heard...
Oh, okay.
In the grapevine of the Destiny world.
Yes.
That you beat its story mode.
Right.
Yes. And it's... that now when you get to the end of it, you're just kind of like, oh. But it's still totally awesome because, like, you... I was like, yeah, reach the level 20, yes. And then got to explore strange new worlds. It's a whole new world. Like wandering around, meeting strange new alien races and shooting the snot out of them, and then having being shot at by them.
Which is the appropriate response.
Of course.
We've learned.
Has Star Trek taught us nothing? Yeah. Become a piece, but shoot to kill, you know?
Exactly. Carry a big stick.
Yes, and all that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I really like that game, and it's fun. Like, I know I've been playing fairly slow by comparison to most other people out there that are big Destiny players, but
you actually beat it like maybe a week after I beat it, so it's not. But yeah, it hasn't been like a big goal of mine, just because I'd heard people talking so much smack about it. So
mostly, I just enjoy playing the game regardless of whether I've reached the end of the story mode or not. So I'm like,
yeah.
So did you have a favorite planet?
Mercury, right? Jupiter?
We haven't reached Jupiter yet. That's
really
the outer.
You didn't? Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
You jerk. I think Venus, in terms of like architecture, I think was really interesting. In terms of scale, like Mars was fascinating. I think that's like that one had a really good sense of depth as well as like scale of the environment as well.
I love Mars personally.
It's pretty cool.
It's weird because normally if it were any other game, I think I'd be driven completely mad. Like, it's all one color. I can't stand it anymore. Give me a gun.
But, no, real one.
But yeah, you're right. The scale and it ends up having a fair amount of personality to it also, just because of the two different alien races that are kind of fighting it out there. They're so different. And one of them is quite a bit different than any of the alien races that they've presented in just about any game that I've seen, other than as like a boss character or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting seeing an entire race fleshed out as, well, it's basically that they're big giant things, but they have a level of technology that allows them to function just like normal military units. So they have jump packs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they move more or less like your hero moves in the game. Maybe not quite as agile, but pretty impressively agile considering how big they are.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, like, to me, trying to figure out how to get around them and whatnot. They brought back kind of the old thing at this point. They have, like, shield guys, but it adds a whole another depth to it when it's something the size of a mountain with a shield, you know?
Yeah, he's 9 feet tall, and he has a shield. Right. He's effectively holding a bolt gun. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have to get around this thing somehow. Yeah, like, when I see the design, like, it harkens back to a certain amount of, like, 40K Space Marines or Terminator or something like that.
And
especially the ones that carry the heavy weapons. I'm just like, he's got a Reaper autocannon. Quick, get away from him.
Yeah, complete with, like, spikes hanging off their backs.
Yeah.
With the one exception, one of them totally looks like a turkey. I don't know what they were thinking with the design on it, but I think he's supposed to be like a master captain or something like that. And it adds a lot to it too. And I don't know why more science fiction doesn't do this, that like we've kind of taken it for granted. Oh, every bit of science fiction, we have to understand every character that's floating around. Yeah, sure, they come up with some pretty nifty ways around it, but it doesn't always make sense. And so having these things running around and talking in a language that you don't understand, it makes it feel more authentic to me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, most of the aliens are not completely indecipherable, but mostly indecipherable language. So it really does feel like an encounter with something that is really foreign, and that creates a nice environment for the idea of like the greater exploration of space and stuff like that. And also just since each of the different groups that is introduced, like they each have their own particular like combat style or like quirk about how they operate. So it's just really interesting to see how they balance that.
Their technology has much different foundations, it seems like.
So yeah, and the warping and shields are as annoying to fight against as they are. I now have a new fondness for how much you all hated my displacer fields I put on my Farseers years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, hold still. You...
Yeah, especially. Yeah, and it's they use them exactly the same way in that game, too. It's always the big, like, commander types that have them. So, mm-hmm. It's like, I finally got the grenade, like, regenerated that'll take this guy out in one shot. You, like, throw the grenade and he, like, displaces right out of the way, like, just in time.
Like, no, my rocket was supposed to hit you, not go flying into the empty space that was your head.
Although there was, I think, one of the last games that we were playing together, I thought it was really great because I have a new grenade type that actually sticks to people for my Hunter mm-hmm. character, and it felt really good, like, I threw the grenade, and I thought it was going to be one of those things where a guy displaces out of the way, like, right in the nick of time. But instead, it hit him just at the perfect time that mm-hmm. when he reappeared on the other side, he ended up exploding. Yeah, that was a nice little victory.
Satisfaction.
So now that you've finished mm-hmm. the story,
right?
What do you want to do next?
Well, there's... still the strikes and the raids, which are perpetually running, mm-hmm. and so I'm gonna probably do some more of those. And the there's always the Crucible, but now that I'm high enough level, I might have a chance at not being like annihilated every single time I respawn.
Crucible is by far my favorite part about the game. I absolutely love it. The multiplayer combat in that is so smooth considering the level of mobility that you have. I haven't seen anything that matches it. Titanfall has a lot more mobility as far as just speed, but as far as kind of grace, for lack of a better word, it doesn't match up to Destiny hardly at all. There are times when I wish in Destiny where I had a good like wall run move or something like that, but yeah. I've been pretty impressed with that.
Nice.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to just like tooling around the part of the solar system is available to me now, and just like, cause I always enjoyed the patrols, cause like you get to, like that's where like the random events will happen on the different surfaces, different planets, and it's just kind of fun like bumping into other like player characters on the world and not like messing up their game or them messing your game up. It's everyone's still on the same team. It's kind of cool.
And being immensely grateful when a really high level one shows up just in time to like save your butt. that's always a good thing.
Yes.
And being that high level person feels kind of good too. When you see somebody like dead on the ground, like, I'll help you up. Stand up, I'm soldier. A hero.
Speaking of being a hero.
Yes.
You can be a hero for pruning stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
There's free Prune rose star pruning hero. Lessons in the award-winning San Jose Heritage Rose Garden beginning Saturday, January 3rd. Come to learn, engage, and enjoy. Call 408-298-7657 for more information.
Nice.
So, we recently came back from a break over the holidays. A lot of people had time off and did stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So clearly you guys did that over the break.
Yes.
Did you play anything else or see anything else during our kind of time off?
I got a little bit of a running start on Alien Isolation, which is... I have a lot of things that end up being like, oh, I think it's easily my favorite game this year, because they all end up being my favorite in weird little niches. But
and that was going back to like our last show before we went on the break. We talked about our going back on our list and of what we were excited for 2014 and seeing if they matched up. And that at the time that was what, like, the top of your list, but you hadn't had a chance to play it. So now that you've had, does it still remain number one up there?
Thanks to a very charitable couple who decided to hook me up with a copy and made me very happy.
The Ronald McDonald family?
I'm not going to name any names. To protect the innocent. But yeah, it's amazing how well they pull off the different layers of interactions with the different types of AIs that they have in the game, both in like an actual AI sort of way, as in the androids and the human AI and the alien itself roving around.
Mm.
And yeah, the biggest thing is anytime you have to deal with the alien being all up in your grill for like a good chunk of time, that really gets your pulse going. Because yeah, there's nothing that can stop it that's in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting having to kind of plan out your every single move in order to make sure you don't get gobbled up like a bunch of gummy bears.
Yeah, I've been watching my wife play it also, and it's fascinating how well they also nailed the era and the environment and like just the feel of Alien.
Yeah. Like, it makes no kind of sense considering all that we know about how the future is unfolding,
mm-hmm.
but it fits perfectly with the original Alien movie. It's really good.
Yeah. And I appreciate that they did that as opposed to trying to, well, if we were to make Alien the sequel based on everything that we know now, it would look like this. And it's like, yeah, we're not doing that. We're just doing a good Alien story.
Right.
It's really interesting, like just the level of detail, like all the artifacts and how well it all works together. I like it.
Yeah, old-fashioned, like, phones mounted to walls.
With and, cords and everything.
Right. And to find that, these days you have to go to a hospital, I think. You don't see it much anyplace else. And, yeah, like the computers especially are a nice little touch. Not just computers, but like the rewiring systems for trying to manipulate how the different functions of the station work.
Mm.
They're all kind of in that same zone of like the green screen with the old 80s sound effects for how they're running, and it just fits the game perfectly.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Nice. So you had a chance to play that, Caleb? See anything, go anywhere, anything? Like,
hang out with family. I got to
snooze fest.
Right. Who cares?
Whatever.
Were any of them geeky at least? I mean,
my dad was a good circuit board designer, so that's.
There you go.
There you go.
Brought it right back around. Thanks to me.
Playing Destiny and watching my wife play Annihilation was the kind of the big geeky gamey things that we did. Yeah, that was about it. Yeah,
that's kinda, it. That's it.
Yeah, low key, mellow.
Cool.
How about you?
I spent the time just playing video games, so it sounds like we all kind of did very similar things. I beat Dragon Age, and now on my second run of that game.
Yeah.
Still in my number one slot.
Yeah.
As last time. And
which this time around we're watching you on Twitch every once in a while, so that's been pretty interesting for us as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Cool. I'm glad. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's cool.
Enjoyable. This time I'm doing a female character, a mage this time.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we went with a warrior dude.
How her face looks like it's just entrenched in misgivings. It's like, I don't know if I should be doing this. I really don't know. But it's adorable, too.
Yeah.
Also, a very good likeness of Danny Harris, I must say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I followed one of the tutorials online how to make it. I was like, I'll go with that this time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that still remained my number one from my top last time. And
right.
Speaking of that, and why I kind of wanted to ask you if it remained number one on yours,
mm-hmm.
I thought of a couple things that I'd like should have gone on my list that I like totally forgot about. I think in the last show I was like, yeah, I'm going to remember some stuff, or we're going to remember some stuff later on. But right. But yeah, I totally forgot about the Wolfenstein New Order. That was really cool. The Garden Warfare game. I had a lot of fun with that. I think, was there one other thing? Now I've sort of forgotten, but yeah, I was like, there was stuff like, oh yeah, I forgot that came out. You know, a lot of stuff, it was like early on in the year, you know, of last year. So you kind of forget, like, you know, mostly you just remember the newer stuff or whatever stuff was like, you know, super high on your list. Like,
yeah, I've heard a lot of people going back and praising the Wolfenstein game a lot. So I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those ones, I think, it surprised a lot of people, just like they weren't.
And it was so early in the year also that a lot of people, kind of like you, ended up forgetting about it at this point. So
yeah, but yeah, that's worth checking out if you have the opportunity. But and then I also beat Sunset Overdrive, which I also received from a certain couple. and yeah, apparently, like, after I beat Dragon Age, I popped that in, and apparently I was pretty close to the end already.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
From having it from Gamefly.
Uh-huh.
So it didn't take that long to beat that, because I was like, okay, I was going to beat that, and then I'm going to do another playthrough of Dragon Age 2. Like, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half left.
Uh-huh.
Beat that. Oh, okay, I guess I can jump into Dragon Age 2 again. Oh, darn. not that Sunset Overdrive wasn't fun. That was a lot of fun. Like, another one I highly recommend, and I think is high on my list.
Got a little bit of a chance to play some of the Advanced Warfare also.
Played some more of that.
How is that one? Like, it seems like it's the most different of the Call of Duty games so far, like in terms of like how they've like worked out movement and stuff like that. The exosuits like seem a little funky.
I think I've explained it this way before, and I'm gonna do it again.
Fair enough.
is I think it's probably the best in the series so far, but I don't know if that's quite good enough. Compared to a lot of the other things that have popped up in the meantime. Not that it isn't like incredibly solid. They've taken probably all of the best elements from the previous games and put them into this one, and they upped it with new technology to make it feel different also. So it feels really great in a lot of ways. But for me personally, because I got kind of spoiled on Titanfall and Destiny with the freedom of movement that you can have in those games, going to a game like that where it's really early in humanity supposedly being able to do these free running things, and they're dependent on these big mechanical suits, I want to say they purposely made it feel clunky because it is a big mechanical thing, but because of it, it feels clunky.
Right.
Compared to the other stuff. And it's not that it feels wrong. It's just once you've gotten kind of spoiled on being able to pull off like weird maneuvers where you take out three people while doing an arc over four other guys that were about to shoot you in Destiny, it feels a little bit weird when you can't pull off the same maneuvers in Call of Duty, especially since the gunplay has always been the hallmark of Call of Duty.
Right.
But it's just not as responsive as Destiny, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be curious to see where they go, like how far they go into the future, since there's now like three companies working on Call of Duty games.
That's
like
true.
If they stick in the same sort of era as Advanced Warfare, or if like Treyarch or Infinity Ward decides to like, okay, well, we're going to go X number of years ahead, you know? So it'll be kind of curious to see their role and then how it sort of plays with the Star Wars Battlefront game that's coming out this year.
So
that's going to be a first-person shooter. How that plays, since while it's not really like there's like a timeline per se compared to ours, but it's, you know, future quote-unquote-ish with laser guns and that sort of thing, like how they decide to do movement and that sort of feel. But yeah, I would say I would go along with what Jason said. I would say, to me, none of the maps so far have been, they're all fine, but nothing's been like, oh, I can't wait to play that map, or oh, I can't wait to play that one. They're just kind of like, there's no, the aesthetics to them just aren't that interesting to me. Like, there's a couple maps that are like kind of urban one, or like a forest one, or
San Francisco is probably the most interesting one.
Yeah, the San Francisco one. It's like there's a couple kind of unique ones, but the rest are just sort of like futuristic building inside. And it makes me think that the ones that are kind of outdoors, since they have to make the maps to take advantage of the exosuits, that it's like if you did one inside a forest, they kind of, they made like sort of these ruins and then other sort of like little kind of mini buildings. So it's like,
and machines.
So it's like, okay, you can use those to jump around and do stuff. But if, you know, if you just did it in a forest and they have to kind of map it like, okay, well then are you just jumping like trees? Like how? So I can kind of see where at the early stages of just, you know, working with the exosuit, like how it might take them a little bit. So I don't completely fault them, but it just, it is kind of sad that none of the maps so far have been like, oh yeah, I love playing on that one. They're just, but it's still, I mean, it's like, if you like Call of Duty, it's still Call of Duty. I mean,
it doesn't fail at that. So
cool.
I know I had way too much fun with the like final unlocks that I ended up getting. The final grenade is awesome, just because it's basically a big spiked ball that you launch at people. And the final rocket launcher isn't even a rocket launcher. It just lobs like a big slug of molten metal at things. Yeah, it's tremendously satisfying hitting people with it.
I can imagine.
So yeah, I think that kind of wraps up like what I did. I'm a little sad I didn't see any movies. I was kind of hoping to see, but ended up not seeing. Like, I think pretty much my time was spent on video games. Oh, and then I watched the Outlander series. I caught I sat down and watched all of those.
That's
a solid show. I think it's a Starz produced show based on a series of novels, or at least one. But yeah, that was pretty good. And had a couple things that were kind of eh, but overall pretty solid. But yeah, I think, I mean, unless there's anything else anyone wants to mention, I think we'll take another little music break and then we'll come back with the core. Jason, you want to remind them the topic?
Yeah, basically all of the various hacking attempts that happened in the last month or so ended up creating an interesting holiday for us.
Indeed.
So we're going to talk about our own personal experiences with that and how we feel about the hacking community after that.
All right. Stick around for more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. And if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app. Pro tip.
Search for KSCU. That is unique to our station. That will find us fastest.
All right, let's get to some music and then back with the core on Robots Attack.
Now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the core. Jason has brought with him our topic.
Well, yeah. The big thing that I was more curious about how it affected you guys, since it didn't affect me all that much personally, was the entire fallout of the Lizard Squad attacks on network, on console gaming, basically. I know for me personally, I was stuck on a 360 the entire holiday weekend. Well, the Christmas weekend. And so it didn't do anything to me. And So first off, I just want to find out what, if anything, it did to you guys, since I heard it was a fairly big deal that shut down things way longer than anybody expected. So
yeah, it shut down Sony for 3 days.
Sony still hasn't recovered in some areas.
Jeez. Like, I did feel the effect. I didn't realize that what it was until, like, the couple of days after. But I tried to sign into Netflix on the... just to like mellow out in the morning with, and there was no Netflix because there was no live. And I'm like, huh, all my routers working, lights are on. Well, it's, I guess it's not that big a deal. And I didn't really need it right then. So, and we were going off to see family not too long afterwards. So it wasn't like, you know, a huge impact, but I did definitely notice that there was a weird outage. And I'm like, that's not right. It's Christmas. There should be like there should be lots of people on. I wouldn't expect there to be no congestion, but this is
you'd think
bizarre.
They'd be prepared. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I remembered seeing, I think it was in one of the groups I follow on Facebook, perhaps, like retweeted or, you know, posted the tweet from the Lizard Squad saying, like,
right.
mentioning, like, be ready for Christmas kind of thing. It was
yeah.
like, oh, okay. So, they're going to try to knock out Sony and Microsoft over Christmas. So when I tried to, you know, turn it on and check, like, oh, yep, it's having issues. I saw everyone on Twitter is like, oh, it's, you know, popping in. So yeah, that was actually the day that I watched all of the Outlander episodes.
Okay.
So it affected me as far as, like, you know,
it changed your habits.
Well, it just like, oh, okay, you know, turned on my Xbox One. It's like, oh, can't sign in. Well, like, guess I can't use Netflix. Like, I mean, I could still play something, I guess, but then ended up just watching Outlander. So it didn't really affect me, but it sucked just in general, though, for everyone else. And just like, you know, Christmas Day, people opening up their new consoles, and
yeah, it's a kind of a jerk move there to like say, oh yeah, you got this cool thing for Christmas. Yeah, no, you can't use it. You can't even sign on. You can't update your game. You can't actually use this very cool thing that you receive that you're very excited about. Nah, that's kind of a.
Yeah.
I see their point. I see what they're trying to do. I also think that was really sort of a jerk move.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll get into a little bit what they were supposedly trying to do, since maybe it isn't common knowledge. They, in their minds, think that they're superheroes, basically. That they're forcing companies to shore up and improve their networks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make this happen by attacking the networks with all they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So, arguably, yeah. I mean, the networks will be better, but all it's going to take is just a bigger douchebag to do it next time. And if the internet has proved anything over the course of its history, there's always a bigger douchebag.
Yeah, and I saw an article from Kotaku talking about the nature of what a distributed denial of service attack is, and that's a DDoS attack for those who are not familiar with that term.
It sounds like it should be a rap group or something like that.
It does. It does.
Like an old school one.
Mm-hmm. Like an early 90s rap group. But no, it's a technological thing. The TLDR version of it is you get a bunch of computers to do very small things that create a lot of havoc on the server side. And that's what and that's how you can have a relatively small number of people take down an entire network of as big as Microsoft or PSN.
Yeah. There's a couple ways to do that too. You can be a supposedly really skilled hacker and make other people's computers do it for you, or you can just pay people in foreign countries to do it for you.
Or you can rent time on kind of open computing sources to do stuff like that. Also, they generally frown on that, and if they catch you, they will shut you down generally, but it is technically possible to do this. I'll link to the article. You can get more in-depth information about how it actually works and why it's difficult to fight against, partly because of the nature of the way the internet works makes these kinds of attacks difficult to defend against. Because a lot of times they're using they're using services on the internet which are designed to be highly available, meaning that you should be always be able to find this, and so they just flood that until it can't hold itself up anymore. Even if it is, you know, Hercules, it can't hold it up forever, and eventually has to topple over. So,
and their argument is that, oh, well, these are massive corporations; they should be throwing all of their money at making sure that nobody could ever do this. But yeah, I guess you could always make the argument that somebody should build a better dam. But if you're the guy like threatening the dam with dynamite, I still don't see that you're a hero of any sort, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just sort of look at it too of like, I guess as an example of, say you wanted to get back at, you know, oh, I don't like Walmart or some big, you know, like just some big corporation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go and beat up its customers or steal its customers'
right.
money.
It's yeah.
Like, so wait, you're
because you don't like the big thing, you steal from all the little guys underneath.
Well, you're attacking right. like. I mean, I'm not trying to say this like of encouraging any of this stuff, but it's just it's like you're attacking the wrong people. It's like
right.
at Christmas, so. You just disappointed a bunch of kids, anyone mm-hmm. that just got this stuff. It's not, I mean, those are the people that you made mad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
now it's like the people have to work, I guess, at Microsoft or Sony, you know, like getting it fixed. Like,
yeah,
well, it sucks that they got to do that over their holiday now.
Right.
But it's like your message, you're going about it the completely wrong way. You're attacking the wrong people. And again, I'm not saying you should do any of that stuff. You shouldn't
yeah.
be attacking the little guy or the big guy, but
it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. I understand that they're trying to point out flaws in security and all that stuff, but if it's a system that allows users to do anything on it, if it's a system that's hooked up to any other systems, there's already holes in the security. Like the only perfectly safe computer is the one that's inside a solid block of metal. Because if you the moment you open up a hole or a port in it, mm-hmm. then you have introduced a vulnerability.
Right. You can't even plug it in hardly without introducing
yeah.
a vulnerability.
Yeah. And so, like saying, "Well, your network is vulnerable," is sort of like saying water is wet. Not that they should. Not that you shouldn't build a better boat to float over the water or a better wetsuit to keep the water out. But
yeah.
it's just saying that the nature of the thing is the nature of the thing. It's like you can't. I don't know.
I mean, I get that's like okay. Well, this does send a message because it's like you know everyone talks about it on Twitter or
yeah.
you know posts. So it's
we're
like,
doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But it's still like. I don't know. What do you really expect?
Yeah,
kind of to get.
You basically are proving that you're kind of jerky. But the thing that I thought was interesting too was another squad popped up, and I think they called themselves the Finest Squad, something like that.
Okay.
And they were like, "No, we're gonna protect the holidays," and they supposedly stood up to them and. Their big thing was that they knew how to hunt down the people who did this sort of attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so they exposed, according to them, the entirety of Lizard Squad to the authorities.
Oh, okay.
And we've only heard of one arrest out of
yeah,
all of this stuff.
Yeah, I
think
I saw
London.
A headline of that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, number one to me, because it has been confirmed that this guy was part of Lizard Squad. And not a huge surprise, very young guy. He's like 22 years old, and he's
yeah.
not much mm-hmm. more than a teenager in my view. And, yeah, he's not some giant criminal mastermind who is trying to change the world or anything. He's just a dumb kid, in
yeah.
my view. A smart, dumb kid, maybe, at best.
Idealistic but naive? How about that?
Right. But the other part that I feel awkward about myself, and of course, it has to involve me, and everything has to center around me, even when it's Lizard Squad. When all of their previous attacks had happened, I kind of shrugged them off because, like, okay, well, I was affected by the Destiny one where they shut down the Destiny servers, but they were down for like 5 minutes or like acting funky for like 5 minutes. So it's like, yeah, I don't really care about that. And when they attacked Microsoft, I was online for that also, and they were down for like an hour. So it was just like, okay, well, you proved that you could do this for 5 minutes or an hour. Go you.
Yeah.
So yeah, when they were talking about, oh, we're going to wreak havoc on the holidays, I had completely discounted them at that point. I was like, okay, so they might shut down services for an hour or something like that. But they messed up PlayStation or Sony pretty royally, is the way it sounds, because... yeah, they're still trying to get all of their services online. Apparently, they're still having pretty major problems with their streaming services, especially. Mm. So I didn't even know that that would end up wreaking havoc on that stuff to that extent.
And they were already in trouble with other stuff going on. So
well, and that's what I wanted to get at, too, is that it was kind of like the hacker holiday, because the... there's still people that are arguing back and forth over whether this is true or not. But best we understand by government sources, the FBI found out that North Korea actually assaulted Sony over their release of a dumb movie called The Interview, which I'm sure a lot of people know at this point. But that ended up being kind of the double whammy against them, was they were still trying to get all of the stuff like back together from having tons and tons of personal information just leaked to the entire world from all of their entertainment side, especially the movie section of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were still reeling from that when Lizard Squad came and did another little sucker punch to them. So I feel like I'm in a weird place, because I'm not like the biggest Sony fan in the world anymore at this point, and I ended up feeling kind of awkward over a lot of the Sony stuff, with Sony versus Xbox especially. But yeah, it's just like, oh, dang, I feel really bad for you guys right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no one wants to see, like, a person get, like, kicked while they're down. And Sony's sort of, like, not you know, firing on all cylinders, so to speak, and, like, to see them, like, taken down this hard. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, that's just, I don't really like that if we're going to personify this, which is horrible rhetoric, but if you're going to personify this thing, I don't like that guy, but I don't want to see him like get beat up this badly. That's just not called for.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not my favorite person, but
but here's something that's just good all around.
Okay.
That
good, clean,
everyone
fun.
Should do.
Yeah.
What's you that? Don't need to worry about no hacking, no this bad stuff, leaking information.
Would hacking improve it though?
I don't know. Maybe to help spread the word, I don't know. But,
let's get North Korea on this.
Get them on San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. It does sort of raise the question, though, not this, San Jose Animal Advocates, but just the whole kind of idea of when the message came out of always being online and having these things, and then kind of having to backtrack that or not really saying, like, well, it's not technically, but when stuff like this does happen, it's like, wow, how much of those things really do rely on the internet. I mean, I remember when the PS4... the Xbox One, when they launched, like there was a tweet of like, one that said like, oh, Sony said it doesn't need to be, always online.
Right.
But it was like a guy like trying to like play a Blu-ray Mm-hmm. And it was like, the Blu-ray player needs an update. Please connect to the internet.
Right.
It's like, I just took it out of the box. Like,
yeah.
I guess it does need to be connected to the internet. I mean,
that happened to a lot of ordinary people when the Avatar movie came out on Blu-ray. Like, it was using a new codec and a new copyright protection, and they had to find ways to update their Blu-ray players because they didn't have it, so they couldn't play the movie they just purchased.
Yeah. And then, you know, to be fair, like, the Xbox One also, Blu-ray player needed an update as well. But it was just, mm-hmm. Going off of that.
Well, yeah, that's part of the side, like, well, maybe it's not my favorite person in the world, but I don't wish this on my worst enemy type of thing. Because that specifically, I thought it was interesting, since, of course, Sony has played up that kind of the Destiny is their game, that they own it in a weird sort of, like, mental space. Mostly because they get, like, first rights of the DLC, in much the same way that Microsoft has done with Call of Duty in the past.
They've kind of branded it as, like, when you think about Call of Duty, you think of Xbox. And that's the same thing that Sony's doing with Destiny. When you think of Destiny, think of the PS4.
Exactly. Right. To the point, and it works so well, a lot of people had no idea that Destiny was even coming out on Xbox.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, oh, I'm gung-ho about it being exclusive. And when did they ever say exclusive? I don't remember that. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, going to that, like the Destiny attack, especially, the big thing with that was that if you were one of the players that was in the middle of the raid, it's like a 4-hour session. Anytime your connection is knocked out, even temporarily, it knocks you completely out of the thing. And so you have to have had somebody who survived the process in order to jump back into their thing. But if it's a complete network knockout or reset, nobody's left.
Mm.
So yeah, that ended up being the one thing that was kind of lame. Like, I was just playing Crucible, so it wasn't a big deal to me. I just jumped into a different game.
Right.
And it was a little bit glitchy for a little while, and then got through that game. Next game was perfect. But anybody who was doing the raid would have major problems. But that's the thing, too, like, with this the Sony side of things, them making a big deal, like, oh, well, we don't believe in any of that always online stuff. The game that you're hawking as, like, your big thing is an always online game.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's been weird that all of that stuff's been weird, and we've talked about that. But yeah, it is, when stuff like this happens, it just sort of makes you look at all of your stuff and it's like, whoa, wait, I can't access the internet. Like, what can I do
with this
sort of stuff? Like, how?
Yeah, the other day at my company, like, we're, you know, through a cable, like, being frayed and coming apart, we lost internet in within the company, and it effectively took us down for a little while, because, like, our phones are internet, our business is done on the internet, like, the fax machines, the internet thing, like, all this stuff, like, it's all hinged around a digital connection, and if you don't have that, you're sort of, like, kind of looking around going, good thing I got Photoshop and I can do that while the internet's down.
Yeah, a similar thing happened with our office one of the days last week when we were having all of the windy stuff. Or not last week, the week before last.
Yeah, but it's fascinating, like, how dependent on the interconnection of all of this stuff so many things have become. Like, even things you wouldn't expect, like Blu-ray, effectively a DVD player, the Blu-ray players, our phones, like, if you lose, like, your data connection on that or your phone connection on that, it's like, so now what does it do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you mentioned with, like, just the Netflix, which a lot of people, Netflix or Amazon, any sort of, streaming movie service thing on your console or something. It's like, if you can't log in and it can't get your login, it's like, you can't use it. So it's like, wait, I can't even use Netflix or Amazon because I can't log in. So like, not like, obviously you need the internet to, watch something, but like in the case, of, like, just with the consoles, like, if you can't log in, so it can't recognize your login, it's like, crap, I can't even still use.
It was funny, like, for me, it was a definite victory for last gen, because Like all during that weekend, I was just watching a marathon of Justified with my family,
okay.
like on the 360. Mm-hmm. Didn't encounter one problem at all.
Nice.
Yeah. And I guess it is a sign of how fragile a network can be, even
yeah.
one that's got real funding behind it and not just like Twitter or Facebook, but like, you know, people that have multinational corporations and all that stuff. So
yeah. Yeah. I guess just to kind of close it up, excuse me, the one sort of good thing to look at out of all this, and I think we sort of mentioned uh-huh. is just like, just recognizing how important,
mm-hmm.
you know, the just being able to access the internet, that sort of thing, like
has become
we really should consider, you know, start focusing on the security stuff. I mean, it's
and they are there if there's several is a couple of security shows that I follow, and there are ways of doing it. There's a lot of they're working on simplifying it, making it easy for everyone to do it.
Mm.
But it's part of it's going to be making things always secure. Like, you know, you have HTTP and HTTPS. You know, it's when we finally get everybody on board with making at least some sort of like authenticated connections, then a lot of the stuff begins to fade a little bit, because you can say, oh, well, you're not part of the connection. Your connection isn't authentic, so we can dump that one, and which should help routers and stuff stand up to it. But
no.
Yeah, even networks designed to make files available all over the place, like Akamai, which is one of Sony's partners that helps Sony's network survive.
Mm.
Like they weren't at liberty to say how things went, but they said, yeah, that was quite the feat that they pulled. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, something good comes from this. I mean, I hate like. Giving them even any sort of like, well, if we didn't do this, it wouldn't have spurred that.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's like, I mean.
To me, this is also a sign of the need and concern we need to have about the concepts, some abstract concepts like net neutrality. Like, you know, go to the EFF.org and read up on what they say about it. They have a lot of good information about it there. You know, protect your internet and how you interact with it, and how people tell you how you can interact with it.
No. And I think that is a great note to end on.
Yes.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Robots Attack. We're here every Monday from 7 to 9. Caleb, how can they, even though the show is over, how can they still participate? Because like the internet, unless something happens, mm-hmm. it is generally open 24/7.
Yeah,
it's true.
Drop the knowledge on us.
Well, you can still, as long as your internet's still running, you can still reach us on facebook.com/robotsattackshow. All our show links are there. Plus, you can leave comments, tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about more, etc. Or you can do that on Twitter at twitter.com/robotsattackme. There's old-fashioned, rusty, trusty-dusty email at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you want the one place to find all things Robots Attack, the one location where it all lives, that's robotsattack.me. That's our own website. We have archive episodes of our show notes, all of it lives there. It's pretty awesome.
That's right. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We will be back next Monday, 7 to 9. Have a wonderful week and weekend from all of us here at Robots Attack and KSCU, Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Peace out, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Nicto.